And he cried with a loud voice, saying, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Over the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the characteristics and the experience of hell. And that has brought us to this moment so that we can meditate upon the words of our Lord, so that we can gain a greater understanding of what happened on the cross as one suffered hell. We see hell on the cross. We see the darkness. We've learned that hell is an existence not in light, but outer darkness because of the judgment of God. In the Old Testament, darkness was that sign of judgment. In Isaiah chapter 59, just after Isaiah pins the words, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." In verse 9, then, it says these words. This is what happens because of that sin. "Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday, as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men." And again in Amos, as God is pronouncing judgment on his people, he says in Amos 8 and verse 9, "It will come about in that day, declares the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon and make the earth dark in broad daylight." This was not natural darkness, if you will, but it was supernatural. This was not some eclipse, as some have tried to say, because it was the Passover time, and that was the time of the full moon. But from 12 noon till 3, it was blackness. The darkness was a symbol of what was happening spiritually. The light and the life of the world was dying. John would write in John 1, beginning in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." That light was dying. Here the Prince of Peace was battling Satan and all the hosts of darkness. Jesus would say in Luke 22, as there he is being arrested, and the scribes and the elders and the chief priests are there, he would say, "This hour and the power of darkness are yours." Not only was there darkness, but there was the cry. We've learned that in hell there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And often we read this part of the account of the crucifixion very much in the same inflection, if you will, as we do the rest of the account. But both Mark and Matthew record that Jesus cried out in a loud voice. You see, he cried out in a scream. That's really what that Greek word means. A scream or a shriek. This is our Lord screaming to his God. Why? I mean, he's wailing here. Why is he wailing? We learned that a wail, what was a loud, audible cry of pain or anger or suffering. Why is he wailing? Notice with me what he does not say. He doesn't say, my head, or my hands." This is not a wail because of physical suffering. He had endured great physical pain. He had endured the crown of thorns, the beatings, the scourgings. He's now on the cross. He's dealing with suffocation. And during this physical suffering, he never raised his voice. Isaiah 53 and verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. He doesn't say, my friends, my friends. This isn't a wail because of emotional pain. He suffered emotionally in his aloneness. His nation had rejected him. Many of his family thought he was crazy. And even his inner circle, those 12 men had fallen away. Up until this moment, we might say that Jesus' demeanor is calm. All through the physical and the emotional suffering, he said things in tones that were normal, if we will, because he was in complete control. But something changes here. He screams. It is a scream of infinite suffering. Suffering beyond the physical and the emotional. The light of the world is being extinguished. Why? Because of sin. And sin requires judgment. Hell is for those cursed because of sin. We've already learned in Matthew 25 and verse 41 there, Jesus is saying in this scene of the judgment, depart from me, accursed ones. Enter into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus became that curse for us. As God poured out put all of the sins upon him. Galatians 3 and verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus didn't say, my head, or my hands. Or my friends, he said, my God. Jesus is being plunged into absolute spiritual darkness. We've learned that in hell, God removes his presence and the glory of his power. Now Jesus becomes the very thing that God can have no part of. He becomes sin. And sin requires separation. You see, Jesus experienced hell. The Father separated himself from his Son. Jesus, being deity from all eternity, had been with the Father up to this moment. And now the Father turns his back on him, separated himself from him. The Anointed One, who is the very expression of God, is abandoned. He experienced spiritual death, being separated from God. And when that separation happened, it was more than he could handle. And he wailed. He experienced hell. But I don't want you to think of that in terms of, well, he just experienced hell for 3 hours. Because remember what we said. Hell is an existence. It's not that he's saying, well, if I can just hold on for for a little longer, if I can just hold on to the end of the 3 hours, then it'll be okay. Hell is not a place or a time. It is an existence outside of space and time. Peter tells us that one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as is one day. Hell is that existence away from the presence of God, having the full wrath of God poured out because of sin. So Jesus experienced being eternally and utterly lost. Not for a moment of time. He experienced it all because of sin. And we see there was perfect obedience. Jesus says, my God. Notice he doesn't say, my Father. He's speaking in covenant language. God had said from the very beginning, if you will be my people, I will be your God. The idea there is, if we do what God says, if we obey God, He will be with us. Notice what happens here. Jesus continues to obey the Father. He is there. He is saying, I am doing what you want me to do. And what happens? The Father abandons him. Why? Because of sin. But despite the suffering, despite the separation, Jesus obeys. Even in the midst of that, he is still saying, you are my God. I'm not turning away from you. And there we see perfect obedience. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. He learned that on the cross. No one will be cast from God's presence like Jesus. It's hard for us to get over the rejection of a friend. I don't know that many people ever get over the rejection of a spouse. But notice here, no one was ever so close as were the Father and Son. John would tell us in John 1 that the Son was in the bosom of the Father. And here then there is this separation, this abandoning of the Son. His suffering is infinitely more than what any man will experience because of that oneness. But we ask then, why did he suffer? One might say, well, he was glorifying God. And yes, he was. But he could have glorified God from heaven. He didn't need to come to the earth to glorify God. He came for you and me. You see, with deep love, it involves deep suffering. Christ endured infinite suffering for us because of his infinite love. He was willing to obey the Father and suffer being separated from his Father so that we wouldn't go through that. Do you see that in the midst of hell, Jesus loved you? The wrath that is reserved for us, he took upon himself. That which is for you and me. For just a moment, I'd ask for you to think about all the sins that you've ever committed. and all the sins that you still may commit. Christ suffered the penalty that was due to you. He did it. He became your curse. Now think for a moment, not just of your sins, but of all the people that have ever lived or will ever live. And Christ had all of their sin plus your sin placed upon Him so that you wouldn't have to go through it. He did this so that we could be brought near to God. That in His infinite suffering, we might be saved from eternal death. As we commune with our Father and with our Savior this morning, let us dwell upon these things.